right, Luke chapter 10. The Samaritan gave the innkeeper 2 pence. He stayed with him all night, made sure he was okay, and he left the next morning and told the innkeeper if there's more money needed to pay him when he gets back. The 2 pence, remember, is 2 denarii, which is a silver, Roman silver coin. It's equivalent to 1 day's labor. So, now in verse 36. Which now of these three, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Remember, he's talking to the lawyer. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. That's what he's constantly saying to us. Go and do likewise. But we can never do it. We try to do it. We think about doing it. But we always screw up. Until we finally understand repentance. Otherwise, we look for something, you know, we look for a justification for our inaction. We look for a justification for our whatever. We never repent.
Some would say if you don't do it, you're demon possessed, or you hidden sin in your life, or all those little.
Those are just idiots. Repentance is everything. Some would say, well, we need more of this, or we need more of that. No. We need repentance. We need to empty ourselves. And everything that's there, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in us. Why would we think we need anything more than repentance? Emptiness. It's so simple. What?
I'm just thinking how it's like God can't inhabit, he won't share his glory with the flesh. It's just,
well, that's why humility and emptiness is everything, because his humility is great, so therefore he cannot and will not occupy where you are. And it's constant. It's never ending. You can't keep anything. Everything must be emptied or given away.
Well, I have a confession. The other morning I woke up and I didn't sleep well. I was just grumbling and grumpy. And then I caught myself, I repented, but I said, how ungrateful I am. And it's just frightening how powerful the evil mind is. Instead of waking up with gratitude that I'm alive.
We're going to take a side trip. Let's go to Revelation 12.
Repent, and then you'll be proud that you repented. And then you'll say, well, now God's pleased with me.
All right. Verse 7, Revelation 12. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The minute you go back to this thing, or trust your feelings, then you're back into the deception of the whole world. There's no neutral ground. Go to Revelation 20. That's what happened at the fall. Boom. There's been this demon, this thing masquerading as you your whole life.
It's interesting here they call them angels.
Well, they were just messengers. That's all an angel is a messenger.
Right. But those little messengers are still passing on information.
Oh, you know, that's one of the parables. The promised land with the seven high places is another problem. You know, the Bible is full of them, but we have to understand finally that you're the enemy. If you don't understand you're the enemy, then you'll continue on. But here's what happens. Now watch.
Where'd you go?
Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, you have to, that has to take place in you. It's the same as the seventh angel has to stand and say, for you, time is no more. There's nothing that you do or think about that requires time. That's what it means to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Now, this thing is cast into the bottomless pit, and there is no more. It's not a battle anymore. But it can only happen with repentance.
Now I'm going to go off the reservation here. Through repentance, it's almost as if through repentance we can accept and see the beauty of the gift that we've gotten, which includes, how do I say it? Imperfect perfection by his offering.
It's not imperfect.
Well, I mean, I look at the world, and if I'm allowing my mind to control all of my emotions, control me, then every little thing during the day that isn't the way I want it to be is a problem instead of being part of life is imperfect perfection. That means things.
Yeah, but if you look again, Jeff, you got to not the whole trick. It's not a trick. It's just you see the emptiness and futility of time and space. You understand that you're no longer part of that kingdom. You're no longer part of that system. It's only here for testing, so that your mind, you can be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. But you have to, the repentance isn't, well, I repented about that. The repentance is a way of life. It's a constant. Otherwise, you'll be drawn back into, you'll fall, is what it says. Well, we're going to go, let's go back to.
Circumstances during the day that can pull you off, to use the phrase, the mercy seat, versus getting on the judgment seat. And I guess you said it, it's constant repentance. It's also the expectations one can have of the day. There's a million things that can annoy you or tick you off. Sad or make you angry. You're bombarded.
Let's look in 36 of chapter 10 of Luke.
What was our ending verse on chapter 20?
Verse 3.
Where did you just go?
Luke chapter 10. We're back to Luke chapter 10, verse 36. So Jesus asked, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And we're going to talk about the word fall. It means, it's empipto, but it means to fall into another's power. Let's just look at some of them. Let's go to 1 Timothy.
Fall into another's power?
Power.
Power.
1 Timothy. Talking about, this is qualification for bishops. Again, a bishop sounds like a big deal because now they have little hats and they have colorful clothes on and they're bishops. But all a bishop was in the Old Testament, he was called the word is overseer. And it means you are spiritually responsible for more than one Seder group. That's all a bishop is. Anyway, verse 6. Not a novice.
Chapter 3, verse 6.
Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The word fall there is empipto. Because pride reared its head, then the automatic is falling into another's power. Instead of repenting the pride, he dwelt on the pride and fell into another's power. Just like that. Fall.
So, into Satan's power?
Right. Then verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. He falls into reproach. Everybody's going to fall into reproach, but you don't fall into reproach with a snare of the devil if there's no breath given to it. The way back always is repentance, repentance. Your mind will automatically think you need more of something. You need more study. You need more understanding. You need more this. You need more that. But it's always and ever only repentance. Now, You can't preach repentance enough. But repentance has a whole bunch of characters, aspects. It has, number one, it has your death. It has your emptiness. And through that, it's from God's standpoint, then meekness and humility, the gifts of the Spirit, are automatic in repentance. But the minute you talebear, the minute you judge another down, the minute you have pride over something, the minute you have think you have a need, then automatically you fall. Instead of flowing up to the New Jerusalem, you have fallen back into time and space. That's the only battle. That's the only thing that's going on. Every time you return to the idolatry of your childhood or your paganness, you fall back into time and space. Every time you return to cause and effect for any reason, you fall back into time and space. If you judge another, you fall from the strong city. It's not that difficult. Let's look at another. Go to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy.
It's not difficult. How many people do it now? It's not like difficult, probably isn't the idea.
People don't do it more because they like the comfort of the familiar. Even if the familiar is terrible. But it's better than the unknown. Well, that's what Gary and I talked about. There's a whole bunch of people in this community that have fallen into the comfort of the familiar, as opposed to being challenged by the preaching of the cross. And then if you ever see anything wrong then you always think you need more of something. No, you need it. It's only one. Repent. All right, chapter 6.
Just one more comment there, that if you would be my disciple, deny yourself.
Abandon it. Well, here's what it says. If any will to be my disciple, he must abandon and deny himself, pick up his cross. Those are summary commands in the Greek. And follow me is the fruit of those two. That's why it's easy. Abandon yourself. The only reason you don't abandon yourself is because you think there's something valuable there. Right? Do you understand?
Yeah.
We love our opinions.
No.
Yes.
And we're proud of the fact that you're opinion.
Well, this one's about having wealth or having money, and that's now you got to remember spiritually that having money is doesn't mean like being a millionaire. Spiritually means that you have enough so that you don't have to concern yourself with that aspect. Anyway, listen. This. Let's start in verse 1. Let as many servants or workers as being under the yoke of their own master or boss count their own master or boss worthy of all honor, for the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing bosses, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. but rather let them do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not unto wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which he is according to godliness, he is proud and knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherewith cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such turn away or withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, again, it's they fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Fall. And if you look through the scriptures and see how many times that word fall or a type of it is used, it's constant. Any act of the mind or of the thought process that you give breath to is an occasion to fall. I mean, it's except you be converted and become as that little child, that darling infant, you shall nowise enter the kingdom of God. Why? Here's my point. Why, after all the experiences you've had in your whole lives, your entire lives, why would you return to that which never worked for you in the first place? Why would you continue to keep drinking sour milk? In that analogy, you're going to get different results this time? Now, if there's things that you believe, if there are things that you believe that should be done or this should be in a certain way, and you've tested that opinion to see if it can stand the weight of truth, then have the opinion. But at least have the courage to let's chat about it.
It's almost like true happiness takes.
Amen.
Whereas misery is easy.
No, I sort of ignored and belittled Mr. Jeff this morning. I walked out on him, and I'm sure his mind went blah, blah, blah. I could feel it while I was picking up the crap in the street. I should have been here picking up the crap in his mind. But it's there's what are you going to sell your birthright for? To be think you're right about something? For judging another down? Oh no, this that's fine, but I've got this opinion about that. Now again, I have opinions about all those stupid labels that are up there. Those labels should not be there. But I know enough, and God's sense of humor is so enough, that I every morning have to come up and look at those stupid labels. Or coffee cups that say something on them. I have to look at Sue's cup every morning. She's always got a cup. These are just stupid opinions. They have no meaning, and I know that. But that's not... I can't give this thing any importance. That's what the repentance is constant. And God will always provide reminders of its necessity. Again, so finally, we speak as if we speak as from the oracle of God. If whatever our thoughts or our words, they're seasoned with a component of eternity. They're seasoned with salt. So we're no longer, we're in this thing, but we're not of it. There's nothing to be not of it. There's nothing. There's nothing in it that you give breath to. Because if you love the world, give breath to the world, the love of the Father can't be in you. It's either one or the other. There's no neutral ground. And again, if you have an opinion and you think you're right about something, let's talk about it. Take it. Just same thing. This is, again, we've talked about Abraham a million times, but Abraham was the first man in history to define what truth is. And he tested everything. And anything in his opinion, in his world at that time, while this was going on, anything in his mind or anything that the world did that didn't stand the test of truth, and the truth meant it couldn't change. It couldn't change no matter what circumstance, what time, whatever was going on. If it was worth, the only thing that was worth giving any importance to was that which didn't change with time. Think about that. Give me an opinion that doesn't change with time and I'll agree with you. Otherwise, these are all the issues that we're studying here, the word you fall into. You fall from a strong city. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the joy of the entire earth is this Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem, shrouded in a mystery, the city of our great King. And our birthplace, our dwelling place, our possession. I thought we'd finish Luke 10 today. That was stupid. I had an opinion.
Get for thinking.
What?
Never play poker. When you're proud of yourself over something, you stick your tongue in your lip.
Not really?
No. Never play poker.
Unfortunately, I don't.
Take it, big guy.